I call to order the May 13th business meeting of Simpsonville City Council. City Clerk Clark, would you call the roll, please?
Councilmember O'Rear.
Here.
Councilmember Root.
Here.
Councilmember Williams.
Here.
Councilmember Roche.
Here.
Councilmember Pinkerton.
Here.
Councilmember Hutchings.
Here.
Mayor Shoemaker.
Here. Please rise as you are able and join in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item 4. Each member of council has received a copy of the minutes from April the 8th, 2025. Are there any corrections to the minutes? Hearing none, the minutes will stand approved as written. Item 5, citizen comments. Our first commenter and only commenter this evening is Rod Folk.
Thank you. My name is Rod Folk. I live at 18 Cloverfield Drive here in Simpsonville. The fiscal year 25-26 budget has a surplus of $1,400,000 in the hospitality and accommodations tax fund. The surplus tells me that you're raising more taxpayer funds than what you really need to do the job. Why take more money out of our pockets than what's needed? Therefore, I have a couple of suggestions to fix this. First option is simply reduce the tax rate to match the amount of money that the city needs to meet the objectives of the fund. Second option would be to declare some kind of a tax holiday long enough to absorb the surplus. Now, this is not the first year that this account has had a surplus. The document budget that I've seen doesn't show a beginning or ending balance with the carry forward from year to year. So I really can't tell what happens to the surplus. I would ask that you make sure that you, City Council, has a clear understanding of what does happen to surplus funds in this account. Another item, last year I recall something about funds were transferred from an account to increase citizen involvement to build the Simpsonville webpage. Webpages has been built. But from my perspective, we really don't have a lot of citizen participation unless it's something here that's really in my backyard kind of thing. I'd like to have some kind of funding or some kind of action taken to increase citizen involvement at all levels in the government. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Folk. Item 6, business. 6A, second reading of Z-2025-01, proposed rezoning of properties at 101, 103, and 16333 East College Street. Mr. Derby, would you summarize for us, please?
1 second. All right. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council. One second. Nope. That is not the right location. Okay. This is 101, 103, and 1633 East College. This is right across from the old SunTrust next to City Hall. The current zoning is business general. The requested zoning is business urban. Again, the applicant is looking to have this property rezoned to business urban for the purpose of converting their garage in the lower portion into a two-unit studio apartment. Nothing has changed since the last time this came through. There it is. Thank you. That is the three parcels. 124 is the old SunTrust. Current zoning is BG. Cross street is BU. That's what they're trying to obtain for the purpose of the studio apartment. I can answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Derby. A motion is in order. Councilmember Root.
Mr. Mayor and Council, I move that we, on second reading, approve Z-2025-01, proposed rezoning properties at 103, 101, 103, and 16, 333 East College Street.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Roop with a second from Councilmember Hutchings. Discussion? All right, hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes. Yes.
All opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 7-0. Next up is second reading of revised ordinance AXZ-2021-01, property at 215 to 231 Stenhouse Road. Mr. Derby, would you summarize, please?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mayor. This is a amendment to the original ordinance from 2021. The original agreement had Metro as the sewer provider. And that ordinance also stated that at this time. The development's moving forward with having the city as the sewer provider. There's no slide for this. There's no presentation.
There's no slides, okay.
So again, this is just rerunning the same ordinance with that language taken out so the city of Simpsonville can accept the sewer for this project. So I could answer any questions you might have.
Okay, the motion is in order. Councilmember Hutchings.
Mayor and Council, I make a motion to approve on second reading of revised ordinance AXZ-2021-01, property at 215-231 Stenhouse.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Hutchings with a second from Councilmember Williams. Discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. All opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 7-0. Item 6C, first reading of AXZ-2025-01, proposed annexation of property located at 1601 West Georgia Road. Mr. Derby, will you summarize, please?
Yes, sir. Thank you. The current zoning for this location is RS, residential suburban with the county. The applicant is requesting residential office and institution. They are proposing to build a church facility at this location in the future. This will be connected by the 20-foot wide annexation strip that you see on the screen there. I know there's a lot of comments about designs. I know they're still in the preliminary stages at the Committee of the Whole. We do have an applicant here that can answer any of those questions you might have, but nothing has changed since the Committee of the Whole meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Derby. A motion is in order. Councilmember Roop.
Mayor and Council, I make the motion we approve on first reading of AXZ-2025-01, proposed annexation, property located at 1601 West Georgia Road.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Roop with a second from Councilmember Williams. Discussion? Councilmember Roop.
I do have a question. I'd just like to be on the record. You said the applicant is present?
Someone from their group is here. Yes, sir.
Could they come to the microphone, please? Just have a quick question. Appreciate it. Sorry. How do you represent the church, sir?
I'm Bracy Hunt, Director of Finance at the church.
Okay.
And this is Isaiah Dunlap, our architect.
Okay. I don't really have a question on the church, per se. I'll still be on record from last time about not being concerned with traffic on Sundays. However, I just want to be clear, is there any plans or talk at this point the church is going to add a child development center or any kind of daycare center on this property?
Not at this time, no.
Okay, that's all. Thank you. Wait, follow-up question. What does not at this time mean?
That hasn't come up in discussion. I actually talked with my pastor today, and we talked some, and that came up, and just the requirements for child development and nursery, that's not some hoops we're looking to jump through.
Okay. So, I mean, I did hear it out there. I just want to be clear. That does change the dynamic of traffic in the
Absolutely.
Day. So as long as that's not on the original plans, what does kind of frighten me, if that does come up, it doesn't come before council. Once we release this, we can't revote that down. Correct, Mr. Derby? It won't rezone. So I want to be sure that, I know you can't tell the future in 2 and 3 years, but at this point, that isn't part of a short-term plan as far as in a couple of years.
Absolutely not.
Okay, thank you.
Council? Councilmember Roche.
A question.
question for Mr. Derby. What is the goal, the objective, and the benefit to that 20-foot strip? Why are we annexing? What's the need?
To be annexed, they have to be contiguous. So by that person allowing that 20-foot to go through their property, it's continuing the connection from what is the city boundaries to this property. Otherwise, you'd be creating, in essence, a donut hole of a property not connected.
Thank you.
Councilmember Pinkerton.
Similar question, but not really a question. I have a concern about the way we're shoestringing ourselves to annex this property. You can kind of see it on the top of the screen. This property you're annexing into is actually a shoestring from across the road. I know it's acceptable to do that. I've looked into the state codes, and I'm sure we've probably done it somewhere else in the city. But going in past discussions where there's been many concerns about the fact that we don't have enough room to grow, this just expands that, because the properties next to it could be annexed in very easily. So here again, it may be legal to strip your way around the county to annex into the city. I'm just not in favor of that.
Councilmember Hutchings.
I also have some issues with the shoestring method of annexation here. Is there a definitive shoestring length that we can determine that we could do to annex a property like this? Or is there a maximum, minimum, maximum kind of thing that you could go from one property to another?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, if you get permission from the landowners, I guess you can continue on further down. I don't see why the benefit of that, or being smart growth to do that, to continue on a random shoestring, but there's no set, that I'm aware of limit.
And was this shoestring initiated by the city or by the property owner?
By the property owner or the applicant. When someone presents us a petition to annex, we make sure they are contiguous. If they're not, we advise them the path to take to obtain that, and that's on them to make those connections with those property owners. The only portion that we get involved in is explaining to that property owner that their taxes, no services will be provided to that property that has that 20-foot stretch.
Well, I have no objections to the church aspect of this, but I do have some concern about the shoestring, and I've got quite a few emails and text messages from constituents who also are concerned about it. I just don't want to see us start shoestringing our way around the county. So, at this point, I can't support this for that reason.
Councilmember Pinkerton.
Just to be clear, in the last meeting when we discussed this, I asked a very similar question, and maybe I heard you wrong. I thought that the city brought this annexation strip into play for the developer.
We explain to them the process, we provide them the petition for them to sign, and then if need be, we sit down with that property owner to kind of explain what's taking place to rest assure any issues they might have. Because a lot of times people think we're annexing their property, the whole property, and that's not the case. They want to be assured that their property taxes aren't going to increase, what services are provided. And those times we show other places that we have done this 20-foot, and we show the property record has not changed to kind of indicate that this won't affect our property financially.
And also, this is a smaller one than the earlier, but the one up north of this, but what if the property owner that owns the property with the strip decides to sell his property, and the new property owner doesn't want a citywide annexing strip in his property?
It runs with the land, unless he wants to try the process of unpetitioning or unannexing the property, but I'm not aware of it.
Could he do that?
I would
property.
It's extremely difficult to do that. You have to have a public referendum to de-annex property. It's almost impossible.
Okay. I know you can do it by law. I looked it up, but I just, again, I have a real problem with annexing into the county with the shoestring effect.
Councilmember O'Rear.
As always, thanks for seeing me last week when I dropped by and asked a couple questions about this. One thing concerned me last meeting was really, and not to be flippant, this is a fantasy line, practically, and there is no limit to the fantasy line. So when you said we try to make sure things are contiguous, it looks like you've got an unlimited ability to do that at this point, where you just draw a line from, say, this building, you know, to Fountain Inn city limits to annex. And that's concerning, because once you do that for one, you kind of have to do it for all. And I know, I think you, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, I think we have four or five shoestrings right now. This would be number five or six. I just don't think this is a way to add land into the city by continually shoestringing things. If there was like a definitive state code or something that said you get 500 yards or things like that, you know, this would be a little more palatable, because one, they would be able to do it, and two, you wouldn't just have the ability down the road to go, oh, you're 3 miles away, we'll just draw a fantasy line over there. So that's what concerns me about this. I have zero concerns about a church, like Councilmember Hutchings said. It's just the way this is being done and the future of the way it can continue to be done. Thanks.
Council? Councilmember Roche.
As it's zoned now inside the county, how many homes, I think I asked this last time, could potentially be built there within the residential suburban zoning?
I believe it's anywhere from 16 to 20,000 square foot lots. I think their size lots depends on the road they front and the setbacks. So I think you're possibly six, maybe.
Six homes?
The home into that, it varies on what the road fronts for setbacks and lot sizes.
I've struggled with that, because we received, at least I did, I can't speak for the rest of the council, a petition from the neighboring community across the street begging us not to approve this because of traffic. But even as it is, I mean, only six homes could be put there. It doesn't seem like it would make a great deal of impact on homes as is. And the church would increase traffic when they have services, which I believe it was established only on Sundays.
And Wednesday,
maybe.
We currently have a 8 a.m. Service on first and third Sunday, then 9:30 service every Sunday morning. We currently do Bible study virtually, so we don't have a Wednesday night service.
Okay, thank you. So given that, I'm not crazy about the shoestring thing, but I get it. I'm thinking of all the uses for this property, and I'm thinking a church should be something that we welcome. So I've gone back and forth with this, but something's going to be built there. It'll either be six homes within the county, or it'll be a church for the community. So I think I'm in favor.
Council? Councilmember Pinkerton, in your first comments, did I interpret what you said correctly, that you're opposed to annexation in general?
No, I didn't say that.
Okay. Any further comments from council? All right, then. On the motion to approve first reading of AXZ 2025-01, proposed annexation of property located at 1601 West Georgia Road, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. All opposed signify by saying no.
No.
Was it 4-3?
So.
Do you have who voted which way, Clerk Clark?
No. From
Councilmember O'Rear?
No.
Councilmember Root?
Yes.
Councilmember Williams?
Yes.
Councilmember Roche?
Yes.
Councilmember Pinkerton?
No.
Councilmember Hutchings?
No.
Mayor Shoemaker?
Yes. That vote carries by 4-3. Thank you to our applicants. Item 6D, first reading of TX-2025-01, miscellaneous refinements to the zoning ordinance. Mr. Derby, would you summarize, please?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mayor. This is the sign section of the exempt signs 410-3 of our Sensible Zoning Ordinance. Everyone's pretty familiar with this. We did amend real estate, political signs, post signs, yard signs, redefine them, and set some new boundaries for those. And nothing has changed since the first reading. I can answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Derby. A motion is in order. Councilmember Williams.
Council, I move to approve the first reading of TX-2025-01, miscellaneous refinements to the zoning ordinance.
Second. A motion from Councilmember Williams with a second from Councilmember Roche. Discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes. Yes.
All opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 7-0. Thank you, Mr. Derby. Item 6E, first reading of fiscal year 2025 to 2026 budget. Administrator Gracely, would you summarize, please?
Yes, thank you, Mayor and Council. This budget includes a 5% cost of living increase for all employees hired through March 31st of this year. 12.5% increase from the previous year for health insurance renewal. Initially, that number was 25.4%, but we were able to negotiate that down to 12.5%. It also includes $250,000 for resurfacing through the Public Works Enterprise Fund, plus an additional $250,000 from the general fund for a total resurfacing budget of $500,000. It includes a $250,000 stormwater allocation, which we started last year. It also includes a $250,000 transfer to Capital Projects Fund for the heavy rescue truck that we have ordered. This is year three of the set-aside money that we will need in order to purchase that truck once it's constructed. If you recall, the County FSA is approving a bond issue in that same amount of $750,000 to match our $750,000 once we're ready to pay for the truck. So this is year three of that. It won't be included in next year's budget. It also carries forward the $1,000 discretionary funds per ward for council. We have removed the GreenLink allocation. There is some money set aside for allocation for salary adjustments for citywide compensation study, which we anticipate will be complete in the summer. And so this sets aside funds so that we can implement some of those adjustments. We are doing no borrowing from the fund balance in the general fund. We're not issuing any debt. Any general obligation debt to meet this balanced budget. There is a surplus in Public Works Enterprise Fund budget. It's a very small amount. There is a surplus in the H&A tax fund budget of nearly $1.5 million. And there's a surplus of about $264,000 in the sewer fund budget. I will just add with regard to the H&A tax budget, it is good to have a surplus. That surplus will help us with funding needed for the downtown improvements and also for the construction of the Swamp Rabbit Trail. Whether we decide to issue new bond debt or try to pay from fund balance, those monies can be used for projects already in the pipeline. Nothing has changed since our initial presentation of the budget at Committee of the Whole. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Administrator Gracely. A motion is in order. Councilmember Roche.
Mayor, I move that Council approve on first reading FY 2025-2026 budget.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Roche with a second by Councilmember Hutchings. Discussion? Councilmember Pinkerton.
Yes, can we address the paving? It's my understanding that the dedicated amount of roads that we were going to pave with this amount has been basically cut in half, and where we stand with that right now?
Yes. Director West and I have been talking about the future of the city's municipal match that we do with the C Fund, with the County Transportation Committee through C Fund revenues. Those funds are allocated to each municipality that participates based on a formula that includes road miles, total road miles, and population. It generally is around $185,000 a year. The issue with accepting that, and we've done it for many, many years, but it's becoming more and more difficult because I think it undermines our ability to pave more roads if we just do it ourselves, because we are subject to the CTC's engineer. They have to do the work, and they are paid 19.5%. for that of the total cost, so that takes money away off the surface. We've also been doing reclamation, complete reclamation of roads rather than just milling and resurfacing, and so we're unfortunately tied to it this year because we've already signed a participation agreement, as we've done every year since they implemented the municipal match. But given the issues that we're seeing now with the cost and the fact that those bids don't always go out early enough to beat some of the other entities that are bidding projects, thus our numbers end up being higher because contractors just aren't as hungry as they would be if we were the first out to bid. I think in the future, of course, I'm not going to be here, but I would recommend, and I'm sure Director West will talk to the new city administrator about this and bring this to council, that we not continue to participate in the municipal match program. I think we can get more bang for the $500,000 that we put in than accepting the additional $185,000 that they put in, given all of the requirements around that.
Okay, that was more of an answer than I expected.
I usually do that.
But that being said, now if we had this $500 and it went out to bid and basically we can't pave as much roadway as we've anticipated to do, what would it take now in order to meet that goal, our original goal, to pave the rest of the roads that were in our original allocation? Because one of the biggest issues with the citizens of Simpsonville is infrastructure, and paving is a big one. And the more we take away, the worse it is for our citizens. So my question was going to be, and maybe it still is that can we, as council, match the difference to get the other six or seven roads that got taken out to get this work done so that we're showing the citizens that we're actually trying to do work? Because now we're actually talking about not paving anything this year.
Well, they may be able to get to it. They anticipate starting paving in the summer. Of course, they have to stop paving when the cooler weather hits, generally early November. We have no idea. The other thing about participating in this municipal match is that we can't control when our roads get paved. We hope that these roads get paved in this calendar year, but as we saw last year, the 2023 roads, there was no paving in 2023. It got doubled up in 2024, and there's a possibility that could happen again this year, that we wouldn't see our paving done until the weather warms up in early 26, March or April of 26, because they're doing this for the county and for every municipality, and we can't control the order in which we pave roads. Like I said, my suggestion would be that perhaps council consider next year not participating in that municipal match and maybe putting more of our local funds into the resurfacing program and let our own part-time city engineer handle putting those quantities together and putting the bid documents together and then doing it ourselves and not participating in that overall program.
Okay, I agree. That's something that we should look into. Thank you.
I think definitely, yes.
Just a comment on CTC. The blame doesn't lie entirely at their feet, but we approved 4 years ago the downtown revitalization project, and like I say, there are other people who are involved in this, but it should have been done 2 years ago, and it's not even started yet, and a lot of the delay has come out of CTC. So I share the frustration with CTC, and I would totally support moving away from utilizing CTC. So, Councilmember O'Rear.
Just one quick question for Administrator Gracely. The one thing I hear a lot about is getting those planters up. And I know we've talked in the past about it should have already been done. Is there any update at all on getting the planters up on Main Street?
The medians on Main Street, yes. Actually, we have talked with DOT, and they are going to remove two of those medians. They would have done that by now, but they've been trying to get caught up on the debris removal. But our last conversation with them was a couple weeks ago, and the work order is in for them to remove the one on Northeast Main and the one in front of the old City Hall.
Yeah, between Curtis and College, I heard those two were coming up.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, that could make a nice little...
I think it will help.
That would help a lot.
It'll at least be something toward the traffic realignment.
Yes, thank you.
Councilmember Roche.
I agree with Mr. Pinkerton. I think that the paving is most important to the citizens we represent. If anything should be pulled, it should come from somewhere else. I know I have roads in my neighborhood that are cracking and need to be relined. And I'm not even sure how to direct this question. If we have a surplus in areas, if we have enough in the general fund to just go ahead and add those others back in, can that be done?
Council could choose to do that from fund balance, but I will caution you that this municipal complex project did spend down $10 million of fund balance. So we're now in that area where we're meeting our proposed 30 to 40% rainy day fund, which we do need to have because, you know, what we learned a few years ago when everything shut down was that you need those funds. You never know what's going to happen. And if we pull those funds out of fund balance, then we don't have them for the rainy day. Budgets have been tighter the last couple of years, and we're not seeing the kind of surpluses that we've seen in the past. Our revenue projections have been closer to the conservative revenue projections that we do, and we've not seen a lot of extra revenues. And so that would be my only concern with doing that. And also, you would be doing it and giving money to the municipal match program, which then is still subject to that 19.5% engineering and oversight fee. I think next year would be the time to really talk about putting more money into resurfacing and coming out of that municipal match program, because any additional money you put into that to get those roads back in, you're losing 19.5% of it right off the bat in fees.
Makes sense. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Councilmember Hutchings.
Under capital purchases by department, we have the Senior Center monument sign under Parks and Recreation.
Mm-hmm.
We had discussed, and I think passed an ordinance to allow a monument sign here at the entrance to the Arts Center area.
Councilmember Hutchings, can you put your microphone in front of you, please?
We had discussed a monument sign here at the entrance to the Arts Center Civic Complex, Gracely Park area. A while back. Is that included anywhere in this budget? Or
it is not in this budget, and the main reason is that the streetscape has not been done yet. And the concern with installing something before the streetscape is done is that it would be dusty and red dirt, and it would probably damage the sign. And so my advice on that would be to wait until that streetscape along Academy Street is completed and then do that sign, because there is a fund balance in H&A tax, and that is a qualifying expense under state law for that fund. You could at any time just by resolution ask fellow council members to allocate the one-time funds to do that. It's not a huge expenditure. It's probably in the realm of $50,000 to $60,000, but I would recommend that wait until that streetscape along Academy is complete.
Thank
Councilmember Roop.
Just a quick question on the fire truck. I know this was year three of three. It ended up being $750,000?
It's a $1.5 million piece of equipment. Okay. It's the heavy rescue truck. And that is
$250,000 we allocated a year.
So for the previous two budget years and this upcoming budget year, we're allocating $250,000 a year so that in one budget cycle, we wouldn't have to come up with an entire $750,000. And that's been going into the capital projects account, restricted for that use only.
Does the county chip in?
They will chip in an equal amount of $750,000. They do theirs by bonding. So they have checked with me earlier this year, and they will check with the new administrator right after the first of the year on whether or not they need to issue bonds next April to get that $750,000 to pay their share. I did talk to Chief Nichols this morning, and the design is almost complete, and they will go out to the factory for pre-con sometime in the early summer. And then it's about a year to build the truck after that. So we don't anticipate delivery until fall of 26, but the county will issue their bond in the spring when they do all their other bond issues. And they'll send that money to us so that we can hold it for payment of the truck when it's delivered.
Okay. And there were three police cars?
Five.
Five in this budget. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the ones they cycle out, they sell to an auction, I assume?
They generally get surplused.
And those monies come back into the mm-hmm. general fund? Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Council? Okay. Administrator Gracely, in the last meeting committee of the whole, characterized this budget as tight. She said those exact same words again tonight, and I certainly perceive it as being tight. So I have several points I want to make regarding this and future budgets. We applied for a BRIC grant, that's the Building Resilient Infrastructure and Communities grant, to help offset the cost of doing a stormwater study. We would have had to provide a 25% match. We were informed last month that our application was rejected because the BRIC program has been cut. What's most concerning about this is that while our application was very early in the process, other BRIC grants across the state for shovel-ready projects that were already underway were halted and that money clawed back. There have also been cuts to the community development block grants, what everyone here knows as CDBG. HUD programs have been cut. These are all funding sources the city has received in the past. Last year, Governor McMaster slashed local project funding by the state. We were directly impacted. This year, Representative Bannister promised us that we would have earmarks to make up for the shortfall on our downtown revitalization, and then led the effort that ended earmarks. The General Assembly considered a $500 million cut in local property taxes, which we could not make up because we cannot do tax increases to make that up because of Act 388. But for now, they've shifted gears to concentrate on an income tax reduction. By the way, they funded that through cutting earmarks. Senator Ross Turner recently told the Simpsonville Future Group meeting that I was at that local taxation is out of control and he wants to implement cuts. Greenville County Council just passed out of their committee of the whole a draft budget that would divert millions from the local jurisdictions, meaning the six cities and the Greenville County School District. This is a change to the fee in lieu of taxes, FILO, that directs about 30% to the county and the balance to the other local taxing authorities. They are arbitrarily planning to double the percentage they keep. This will have an impact in the hundreds of thousands for Simpsonville. Pain isn't a competition, but for perspective, it's in the millions for other jurisdictions. The worst part is County Councilman McGahee describing the school district as a fat cow. Keep in mind that the Greenville County School District is one of the top performing districts in the state when it comes to student achievement, while being one of the lowest in per capita spending. Well, moo, councilman. We're in that herd, and we're not wasting money. This isn't a new tactic either. The county imposed landfill fees a few years ago and jail fees on the municipalities without consulting with the cities. Likewise, they didn't consult with us about these FILO changes. This means that if you live in a city you pay this fee on top of the taxes you already pay as a county resident that county residents don't pay in addition. Greenville County Council has also attacked annexation as being unfair. That's their word. Well, 2 points I want to make on that. One, we don't pursue annexation. Applicants ask to come into the city. And two, everyone who lives in this city is also a resident of the county. Why are they characterizing us as the enemy? Speaking of annexations, they're off 75% from 5 years ago. Developmental annexations have been a big part of our ongoing revenues. Building permit revenue is off 70% in the last 4 years. Now, I've often said that for me, and I think the rest of the council too, that we never really pursued annexation for the revenue or even asked what the revenue would be when somebody asked to come into the city. I now realize that this thought process is a luxury of being adequately funded. We have a tight budget. Our revenue streams are drying up from the feds, from the state, from the county, and from our own city revenues. We are staring at a potential recession in the face, especially when you consider the largest tax increase in the last 50 years. The whole point of this is my request that council needs to reset its thermostat. The years of having adequate tax revenues are now in question. Nobody on this dais was here in 2008, but we have employees who were. They remember the layoffs that Simpsonville was forced to undertake. Administrator Gracely has pointed out that our biggest expense is people. If our revenues do continue to fall, we will have to consider cutting services. People. Maybe raising taxes, maybe both. I hope I'm wrong. I just want council to consider their set point when it comes to spending. We face a major shortfall when it comes to the downtown revitalization due to inflation. Borrowing more money has been suggested. I just want to be clear that I'm now opposed to that because I'm worried about our future ability to pay the note. Taking money out of the general fund has been suggested for making up the loss on the brick grant for doing a stormwater study. Now I'm concerned about spending any money on a stormwater study. Malden just got the results of their stormwater study, which cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to do, by the way. And they came up with a list of projects well over $20 million. That's how much our annual budget is. Administrator Gracely is working on two FEMA 404 grants that would go towards fixing two flooding issues in Poinsettia. If we are lucky enough to be approved for these grants and the administration doesn't cut this funding, we will need matching funds for those grants. We'll also need matching funds for the FEMA 406 grant for Hurricane Helene repairs. Taking that into account, Council, I move to shift the $250,000 budgeted for stormwater into the capital projects budget to be used for matching funds for FEMA grants. Hearing no second, that subsidiary motion dies. Any further discussion? I'll call for the vote. Item 6E. All those in favor of approving on first reading the fiscal year 2025 and 2026 budget signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Opposed signify by saying no. No. That motion carries by a vote of 6-1. Item 7, executive session. This is to request legal advice from the city attorney related to the sale of city-owned property. Go on to that. So is there a motion to go into executive session? Councilmember Pinkerton.
I move that we move to executive session to discuss items related to the sale of city-owned property.
Second.
Motion from Councilmember Pinkerton with a second from Councilmember O'Rear. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. All opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 7-0. No action will be taken in executive session except to adjourn or to return to public session. City Council will not commit the city to any course of action in executive session. City Council has voted to enter into executive session as allowed under South Carolina Code 30-4-70, paragraph A, subparagraph 2, for the purpose of requesting legal advice from the city attorney related to the sale of city-owned property. We're now in executive session. Council has returned from executive session, and at this time we will take action on items discussed in executive session. A motion is in order.
Mayor, I move that Council direct the City Administrator to have the 2021 appraisal for the former City Hall property updated and a copy of that provided to Council.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Roche with a second from Councilmember Pinkerton. Discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes. Yes.
All opposed signify by saying no. No. That motion carries by a vote of 6-1. If there are no objections, Council will stand adjourned.